Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are now in the pocket with Covell Hudson.
How's it going? Thanks for joining us in the pocket. Thanks for joining us. It's March 20th, 2023. It's a slightly sunny day, and we have a lot to bring you today. To be honest, I don't know if it was slightly sunny because I wasn't outside much today at all, just for a second. But we're going to discuss the free agents coming in and free agents coming out for the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, we'll discuss March Madness, specifically KU, MU, and KSU. I'm not going to say that KU was a disappointment. I'm not going to say MU was a disappointment. But they were disappointing games for everybody. Kansas State shocked me. And we will get into how Ty was right. I don't want to say for once, but Ty was right. He was right, so I'll give credit when credit's due. But I'll be taking credit here very soon. That rhymes a little bit. And other things we will discuss is the Royals with Kyle. Kyle will do his roundup. He is our Royals specialist. We would do the countdown for the best Chiefs players drafted by the Chiefs, not named Patrick.
Patrick is a give me.
Yeah, it's a give me. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I think he will go down as just the best ever. Pick ever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, that we've had.
Yeah, no, he's goated. Then we will close the show with another valued opinion brought to you by Taifu Panda. So let's get the show going. It's been a pretty we're going to stay on task today. I'm going to make sure we're staying up today. But let's first talk about the Chiefs players that we brought in. That we got brought in. There's a 4.5. We have Drew Tranquil, he's a linebacker. We have Mike Edwards, he's a safety. We have Juwan Taylor, that is our new left tackle, and we have Charles O'Minihue. And we sign Nick Allegretti.
You good with the names today? You good with the names this week, isn't he, Kyle?
Yeah, you know, a lot better. You know, usually I say you've got to show me what you can do before I try to learn your name.
Out of those three guys, who do you think is going to make the biggest impact?
I don't know. So three guys. Four guys,
excuse me.
So out of those three guys, you know, like really looking at it in a vacuum, so Drew Tranquil. He signed a 1-year, $3 million deal with incentives.
That's oh god.
With here incentives, he can get. Does that mean I'm talking bad today too? Is that what that means?
No, it's the start, but it's okay. Start. You
all
did
right.
Good. With,
all right, I'm a
with
their names.
Oh, no.
The names messed me up. All right, hold on. Let me dry my mouth. Okay, so he has a 1-year, $3 million. Wow, can't even. Yep. It's going to be a rough one. All right. 1 year, $3 million, but up to $5 million with incentives. Last year, he had 144 tackles, 5.5 sacks, 4 PBUs. And, you know, he took less than the Chargers. I'm pretty sure the Chargers offered him a multi-year deal, but he decided to, you know, come to death row. I think everybody gets, I think everybody gets that reference.
I think he's going to be the biggest impact because of the chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, but
you're in a division. You're in the same division. You know what I'm saying? So that means you're going to have to see your old team twice and, you know, maybe three times. But, you know, the Chargers in the playoffs hasn't really – they've been less than a footnote. So nobody cares about that. But that lets me know he has a chip on his shoulder.
Well, Daniel Sorensen had a chip on his shoulder too.
and he helped us win a chip.
Oh, my God. Listen, we're not going to get into that. Wow.
Dirty Dan. We miss you, buddy.
So, like, Dirty Dan is like that basketball player that he'll score 25 points, but he gives up 35. Like Daniel Sorensen, like, yeah, like even those games where he made big plays, you watch the same game, he gave up big plays. So, you know, like, well, matter of fact, I think he's Drew Tranquil is kind of like a better Daniel Sorensen. But, you know, like, but him taking that cheap deal, that means he wanted to be a Chief. But the thing is, we have Willie Gay, we have Nick Bolton, so, and we have Leo Chanel. So Drew Tranquil seems to be like the third linebacker.
But that means the packages is just going to be crazy. They're going to be sick. You know what I'm saying?
The packages are going to be crazy.
Yeah. That.
Well, I was wondering, and I told you this before, I was trying to figure out, how do we get him so cheap? Why is it, for him to have such a great year, why is his market so shrivelly, like a grape, you know, that turned into a raisin? Why was it? And he had two ACL tears, one on each knee in college. And last year he played 17 games, but usually he's banged up.
Well, you know, it's like the Carfax report. You know what I'm saying? it kind of makes the car less valuable.
Oh, water damage? It was in a flood?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's just one of those things. You know, the Carfax report is out on them. And those two blown tires that he had, you know, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. So, okay. So you said, all right. So him, just off top, I give that a C+. And it's hard for me to do any better or any less. We got somebody cheap that can play, but that's not really what we needed. We were good. I actually like, what was that, Harris? I think he played pretty good last year.
That's fair. C+ is a fair for him. I think that's fair. What you got, Kyle? It's a fair grade for Tranquil?
Oh, absolutely.
C+?
And you stole him from a division rival, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Chargers sent out a little thank you tweet to him. The comments under that tweet from Chargers fans.
Oh, they were letting the Chargers have it. I've seen a lot of it.
Filled with vitriol towards this guy. Like, happy for him, but how can you do that?
Yeah. Well, that's Charger fans anyway. You know, are we talking about the San Diego Chargers or the L.A. Chargers fans? Which one?
Yeah, I'm going to call them San Diego until they
do something.
Until they do something.
So you're going to call them that for the next 20 years, huh?
That's right. That's right.
That's what you're telling me?
As long as Brandon Staley's their coach. He's the perfect Charger coach.
No, just like when the Raiders brought in Garoppolo. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's not an upgrade over Carr.
And you know what's crazy? I have a buddy that is a fellow comedian. He's a Raiders fan, and he's pumping himself up. I said, you know what you sound like, right? You sound like you're trying to trick yourself into saying that this is great. Like, this was just a major pickup.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we stole Garoppolo from everybody else.
One of the stages of grief is what it is.
Well, it's like your father's Chiefs fans. That's what it's like. That's how we used to be. Oh. 20 years ago, we were like, ooh, we got Steve DeBerg. Oh, Lordy.
Matt Castle's here.
Matt Castle. Yeah, we got Matt Castle.
Oh, boy. All right. So I give him a C+. If Willie Gay throws another vacuum or if Nick Bolton gets hurt, that's funny, right? All right, but like then Drew Tranquil will step in. And, yeah, so C+.
Yeah, he'll be good depth and – it kind of worries me a little bit. Like, do they not trust Willie Gay to be an every down type back?
They never really liked Willie Gay. Like, you know, Spags is difficult. He never gave Dorian O'Daniel a chance.
Yeah.
I don't know if he probably was a scrub.
O'Daniel, he was undersized.
He was undersized, but they drafted him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great special teamer. Those special teamers.
But they never gave him a chance.
Yeah,
I guess if he was looking trash in practice,
if he's looking like he can't stop some of the smaller guys or a little bit bigger guys than him in practice, why would I put him out there, especially against a Derrick Henry or something like that? You like, he's gonna definitely get ran over.
And you know what? Like, so, I'm getting off track here a little bit, but I think it's good that Veach is really understanding Spags now. Because remember, Veach used to bring in guys. And Spags wouldn't play him. Spags wouldn't try it. So now Veach is like, okay. Because everybody plays the same in Spags' system. It's just, what's his name?
Spags, he definitely has a type.
He has a type. Yeah.
Long, lanky guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he likes decision makers.
Right.
But.
Which is weird because this year, secondary filled with rookies.
Yeah. Well, I think they Veach, Andy, they pulled Spags into the room and said, hey, no more of this old man stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to play
some, we're gonna have to play some of these young fellas.
Yep.
Because, yeah, like, what? Hitchens. Hitchens wasn't a bad linebacker.
No.
He wasn't great. But he wasn't a bad linebacker. But in this system, it was too many. It's too much thinking.
Yeah.
So by the time he was done thinking, the play was past him.
Yeah.
Willie Gay and Nick Bolton, they're still doing that thinking, but they're fast enough to recover.
Right.
So I think that's another thing that helps with Drew Tranquil, because he's a fast guy. He's kind of crazy. I've heard his mic'd up.
Decent in coverage.
He's our best coverage linebacker.
He just got to find the, I think Spags just had to find the balance.
Not Spags, and Veach.
Well, no. I'm defensive wise, he has to find the because he likes the high IQ guys, you know, and some of them, if they had the athleticism, they didn't have a high IQ, you know.
No, yeah. Hitchens was smart. He was the smartest dude. He was the best leader on the team.
Yeah.
But he was over here.
But so. He played like a bum, so it's hard to listen to.
Come on.
Oh,
he
God.
Was a bum.
Just say competent bum at least.
Competent bum.
He's kind of a – he's Derek Carr-ish for a linebacker.
He was Derek Carr-ish for a linebacker.
Middle of the road.
And when Chiefs fans was getting on him, he was like, we've been to the Super Bowl twice. Well, you know, we shirred up the defense. I'm like, I mean, that's true, but we can replace him.
He's replaceable.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah.
Very, so.
So that went long. So let me try to go to these real quick. So we got Mike Edwards on a one-year deal. Same, pretty similar to Tranquil's. 1 year, $3 million, $5 million max with incentives. He's a covered safety. Seems like he's replacing Juan Thornhill because he was the over-the-top coverage guy. But I'm expecting him to be a third safety. You don't want him on the field too much.
Yeah.
Because he can be exposed.
It's the Brian Cook era.
It's the Brian Cook era. And that scares me a little bit.
But if they
have him in the box, if they have Mike Ayers on the top and Justin Reed, that's not too bad at all.
Yeah.
So do you think, though, the incentives is going to make them play even harder?
Not because necessarily.
Because it's your money.
Well, yes, but I think in the long term, I don't think they're thinking about the incentive. Drew Tranquil, Mike Edwards want to do what Juju did.
Yeah, they're trying to get a longer deal.
They want a long-term deal.
But they want to show what they got on a championship-caliber team.
And see, that's what I'm saying.
Well, if the incentives come anyway.
Yeah, the incentives are going to come, but it's that incentive to make you want to kind of play a little bit harder. Because think about it. If I get this, if I get $1 million bonus – for this extra sack or whatever, a 0.5, I'm kind of going to go a little bit for.
Well, I do believe, we don't have time to talk about it right now, but I do believe incentives isn't to incentivize a player. It just gives the ownership a reason to pay you less if you don't do it.
Yeah, some wiggle room.
So, like, I don't think.
From the owner standpoint, yes, but I'm just saying the motivation.
But me personally, if they said to do this show, they'd pay me this, but they'd incentivize, like, it wouldn't make me, I still want to do a good show.
Yeah.
I still want to show that I'm good.
No, I'm saying you still want to play hard. You're still going to play hard, but it's just like, just think about it. Like a salesman, if you sell that one extra car this month, you're going to bonus, right? So what you're going to do? You're going to stay a little bit later at the dealership, you know? So that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that is the sole reason, but
no, yeah, like if they're trying to get them incentives, then they're going to be hard pressed to find a deal next year. You better just ball out. Yeah, they better just ball out. Okay, so we got Charles Omenihu. I didn't even say how big they were. Well, Charles Omenihu is 6'5", 280. He moves nice.
Yeah, 35-inch arms too. This is a long, lanky.
Big, scary looking
dude. This is a Spags prototype, is what it is.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I believe he's a Frank Clark replacement. I believe they're going to play him on the edge. But
yeah, he can do both.
Yeah.
Put him next to Chris Jones. Good luck.
You know, and like I compare him to like JPP, Pierre Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I've played at Fort Scott with him. I just want to put that out there. But yeah, he's big athletic. Last year he had 20 tackles, 7 solo, 4.5 sacks.
He had all his fingers when
he had a pretty good
right
win rate too on pass
rushing snaps.
He did
have a good win rate. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are like, oh, well, he played with Nick Bosa. Well, he's coming over here, and he's going to play with Chris Jones.
Yeah, that's true.
And Chris Jones commands all the double and triple teams in the world. So
yeah, and all them D-line over there, that's why he didn't play over there.
Yeah.
They were stacked.
Oh, yeah.
I think $10 million is a little steep. But if it works out,
I don't.
Then it's good.
2 years, $20 million, that's a fantastic deal.
I mean, yeah. Cool.
But especially if he's a productive pass rusher.
But look at everybody else is getting $10 million. They've had, you know, like they've been playing. He hasn't really been playing. So we don't know what he'll do game five playing every, you know, 70% of the snaps.
Regardless, I like the signing. I love it.
I like the signing. That may be our biggest signing. So, like, I give that one a B minus just off upside. Oh, yeah, Mike Edwards, I gave that a C plus. Juwan Taylor, we already talked about that one. I give that a C plus. What time is it right now? Okay, I got to speed this up. All right, we re-signed Nick Allegretti. Big whoop. No, but, like, he's 1 year. He's a swing tackle. He played both guard spots and center. He played 25% of the snaps. So we lose Wiley. We lose Brown. So we have somebody in there that kind of knows what's happening. He can move around. All right. So you said the most impactful. I think it's Charles. Charles O'Minihue.
I'm going to say it three times.
Charles O'Minihue. Okay, wow.
That's
Charles O'Minihue. Charles O'Minihue.
His name is going to be fun at parties.
Well, if he's good. Like, I'm be like, man, that dude, Charlie O, man, get him out of here.
I think people are, and especially players, are starting to realize that the fan base here, now that we've tasted winning the way we have been these last past 5 years, we're going to be real, real hard on players now.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of was lenient if you look at years past. But now we're going to be like, hey, come here.
No, yeah, for sure. Because, like, yeah, a lot of players that we used to love 10 years ago, we'd be like, hey, get your stuff together.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Your key card does not work until you get better.
Matter of fact, if Dante Hall was our return man now, because you remember, Dante, besides the great runs, he had a lot where he was running backwards and doing some silly stuff. We'd be like, hey, Dante, you can get up out of here. You can get the Tyreek Hill treatment. We can do that in a second.
Yes.
Okay, so let me round this up real quick. All right, so this is who we lost. This is who we lost as the Chiefs. We lost Juan Thornhill to a 3-year, $21 million deal, $14 million guaranteed, $7 million a year. I think when we spoke about this before, I called it. Juan Thornhill played good enough to get a contract. We're not paying him. I had a feeling that was going to happen. Juju to New England, 3-year, $25 million, $33 million in incentive, $16 million guaranteed. Once again, and you know what? I think it was his injury history and his childishness that the Kansas City was like, nah.
But he did what he set out to do as a player to revive his career, and he did that. And he got a chip for it.
How is TikTok boy going to do in Patriots, in the Patriot way?
Is Mac Jones throwing him the ball?
Mac Jones is throwing him the ball. He can't get separation.
Then he'll be all right. He'll just run slants, little 5 yards up and come back to stop and go.
So his yards per catch is going to be like
it might be a lot lower than this year.
Yeah. Yeah. But, Mike Burton to the
Broncos.
To the Bronx.
Yep, Mike Burton to the Broncos, 1 year, $1.3 million. They probably paid him $2,000 more than we were going to pay him. But, and who can we replace? Anybody.
They're going to line up Noah Gray at that fullback.
Probably even Charles O'Minihue. It's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Yeah, you just.
Colin Sanders, 3 years, $14.5 to New Orleans. Once again, it's $4.8 a year, but we didn't want to invest in anybody long term. Yeah.
I'm a little surprised the Chiefs weren't willing to do that, frankly. Well, but
you think so?
Veach, obviously, he must have a plan for that defensive line.
Veach is making a play for and he says that I'm crazy for this saying this, but I think he's making a play for Odell Beckham.
Well, but that wouldn't. I mean, $4.8. That's about what OBJ would be getting, but
I think he's making room so he can spend a little money when he has to.
Yeah,
kind of like putting some money in the reserve.
And not for OBJ.
Getting good.
Not for OBJ.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, we already have little fast hurt receivers. We already have that. We have three of them.
That's a good point.
We have little fast hurt receivers. There's no reason to bring another one in.
Now, Tony. Yeah. Yeah. Sky Moore's been healthy. He just never played.
Yeah, but he just never played. And Mecole Hardman, they haven't signed him
Jones
yet.
Jones is still on team.
I'd rather all right. Okay. I was going to say I'd rather Mecole over OBJ.
We have MVS.
Yeah, we have MVS. Like, we need a Deebo Samuels. We need a
another gadget type player?
No, we need a
big boy.
We need a big boy.
D-Hop.
D-Hop. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need a D-Hop. We need a who's that guy from the 49ers?
Debo. Oh, Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, no, Debo. Yeah.
Debo Samuel.
Debo.
Yeah, Debo.
All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that who we just said?
So you
just,
that's who you just said.
That's what I just said.
We need somebody strong arm.
I take Dwayne Bowe. We just need a
big, strong
dude.
No, you would not. And don't you ever say that again.
I will take Dwayne Bowe before that extension. Before that extension, he was nice.
If you fumble your walking papers, you do not deserve to be on that Chiefs field.
Okay, real quick. So Colin Sanders, he was a big locker room loss. He was a gritty player. Too expensive for Chiefs. But then after you look at 4.8 a year, for some reason they didn't want to bring him around. Andrew Wiley, he went to Washington, followed Eric Bieniemy. 3-year, $24 million, $8 million a year. He started 59 games in 5 years, played great in the Super Bowl, 11 playoff starts, and will probably put Lucas Niang in. But he seems like he don't really be one to play. Big one. Orlando Brown, we lost him. 4 years, $64 million. It's a front-loaded $31 million signing bonus. 16.2 a year. 68% of his deal is guaranteed. So 68% of $64 million is guaranteed. Less than the Chiefs offered him. Remember, we offered him a 6-year, $139 million, $23 million a year with a $30.25 million signing bonus. So in 5 years, he lost $75 million, and he lost $7 million a year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some minutia in there that we don't know. Yeah. But
so that 5-year deal, the six-year deal the Chiefs offered him, you know, you look deeper, technically, that's kind of a 3-year deal.
It's probably
deal.
3 or 4-year deal. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But
no question.
But average
I do
per
think
year?
His total amount of money he could have brought to his bank account, I think, definitely suffered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And reputation. Because now in 3 years, he's got to try to get another one, and he's going to go through the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's going to become a better left tackle than he is. He's solid. So yeah. I don't think he's going to – yeah, yeah.
The team's record is going to reflect as well, too, though.
Cool.
So, I mean, if he goes to a team – if his team doesn't do well, then it's really going to suffer his bank account.
If he's dumpster juice, they're going to want to get rid of him. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we'll try to squeeze in some of the March Madness. We'll keep it quick. And then we're going to talk the Royals. And then we're going to talk the countdown, the best players drafted from the Chiefs, not named Patrick. We'll be back in a second. I can't control my head. It's like Night at the Roxbury. I can't control it.
I'm with you.
Yep. Are you over there balancing too?
Yeah.
We're simple. We're too simple.
Yeah, that's all.
You give us a nice melody and our necks are going. You are listening to 94.5 FM, 1510 AM, ESPN Kansas City. You are in the pocket with Colville Hudson, Typhoo Panda, and Kyle Collier. Collier used to get me. I'm good at saying Collier now. Collier. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to our Royals expert, Kyle Collier.
Well, thank you, Covell. Mm-hmm. This update, not a whole lot going on with the Royals this week. I'm not going to talk about spring training. What I am going to talk about is the World Baseball Classic going on. I don't know if you guys caught the games over the weekend, but USA versus Team Venezuela on Friday night, what an epic game that was. 9-7 finish, the U.S., Trey Turner hit a grand slam in the eighth inning to take the lead. 9-7.
Oh, really?
Yep. And yesterday, U.S. beats the brakes off of Cuba.
Really?
They're in the final for the second straight World Baseball Classic.
How many Royals we got out there?
Brady Singer, a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Bobby Witt Jr., who may be playing because U.S.'s third baseman got hit by a pitch.
Oh,
might be out. We might see Bobby in the final.
That'd be nice.
He's basically just been a pinch runner.
We beat Cuba?
Oh, we beat the brakes off Cuba, yeah.
That's where we get all our baseball players, eh?
And then we're awaiting the second semifinal tonight, which is Mexico versus Japan. Japan should win.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a second straight U.S. versus Japan final.
Okay.
U.S. came out on top in 2017. And I think they're poised to do it again, although Team Japan's very good. That is my Royals update.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you a Royals question. Have we gotten better before the start of spring, after spring? Do you believe?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said we're going to win over 70 games this year, you think?
Yeah. If they don't, then I'm going to quit.
So they're definitely on the incline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right.
Okay. Well, we're gonna do this every week.
Is that, and is they're going to have to prove it. Not a lot of people care.
Or is that you as a fan? Or
oh,
is
yeah,
that
that's
you
a good question.
That,
that's both, but also my baseball knowledge, you know. I like what they've done with this the pitching staff, the whole overhaul of the department. They're getting more analytically minded.
Okay.
They're following blueprints from teams like the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cleveland Guardians, who are small market teams who basically just use, you know, data to stay ahead and consistently win.
Okay.
And that's what the Royals are trying to do.
Rather than what they feel.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dayton Moore, yeah, he operated with too much.
I cannot say
but we love him,
Cleveland
you know?
Guardians. That's still weird to me.
I
can't say that. It's
sounds good to me.
It feels like the Washington Commanders, you know.
I still like Washington football team. I still call them that usually. But, okay, that is our Royals roundup. Thank you, Kyle. Yeah, we're going to stay on the Royals because we're expecting a good season here. We should have a solid season here. If we can put together a solid season here and next year, then I think we can get more excitement around a downtown baseball stadium. That'd be nice. I'd like to have some drinks and walk to the game.
Yeah, right now it's like, eh.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they got to win something first.
Yeah, and don't you get like
if,
a
– if that's the case, we'll never get a new stadium.
Order a pizza and you get like four tickets for free or something.
those are the good – oh, we're back in those days, aren't we?
Oh, we are pretty much back in
those days.
There's
that old Krispy Kreme one where if they got 12 hits, it was a free – dozen donuts the
oh,
next
wow.
day.
It's a lot of gluten and sugar, but hey.
Yeah.
Other than that, and that sounds like a good deal.
All right.
Okay. So we're going to slide into March Madness.
Say it.
Oh, we're going to end with those guys. All right. So let's start off with KU.
Yeah.
You know, like, so they lost 72-71. And I'm not going to say it was a choke or a letdown, even though it kind of was, but they didn't have their head coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, that last play when – what's the backup coach?
Norm Roberts.
He drew up a play to try to get a two.
Yeah.
I think if Bill Self was there, he would have tried to draw up a three.
Yeah. That play took off way too much time on the
yeah.
clock, too.
Yeah.
And it burned about 10 seconds and nothing happened.
It didn't look smooth. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing was – and you know what? I'll put this out there. I'm going to wait a few more days. I thought they were going to win. I thought they'd win pretty handily. Yeah. And I was going to say the reason they're going to lose in the Sweet 16 is because the best player is inefficient.
Yeah.
And they're bad at rebounding, and they're not great at finding open
yeah.
shots.
So, like you said, so a lot of people want to blame it on Norm Roberts, which, yeah, one-point game, and you – if Bill Self is on that sideline, you have to imagine that adds, like,
eight points.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think they win that game with Bill Self. But I'm not going to blame it on Norm Roberts.
Yeah.
I will blame it on Jalen Wilson getting completely eliminated in the second half.
Yeah.
Council took over mm-hmm. for Arkansas, number four, I believe. And you have to believe Bill Self is not going to let that guy go off either.
Yeah.
He's going to devise a plan. And he's going to swing some extra help over there. He's going to do something, but he's going to cut him off.
Yeah.
He's going to cut him off at the source.
So Kansas's best player. Inefficient, right? Jalen
yeah.
Wilson.
And that,
eliminated
like,
in the second half, basically.
Yeah. And like, we've talked about his inefficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's usually because you're only as good as your best player.
Right.
And another thing, it lets you know how talented KU is because they got outplayed on a lot of different things. KJ Adams, he got in foul trouble and sat for 9 minutes.
But yeah. this isn't the first time. Do you think that takes some of his lottery stock down, some of his draft stock goes down?
No, I think he is what he is. I think everybody knew what he was.
Yeah. I don't think Jalen Wilson's a lottery pick.
No. No. He's a five-year, and it sounds awful.
Yeah.
He's a five-year player.
And he's not Ochai Agbaji.
What? He's probably going to be a second round?
That's what I think.
Yeah, he'll be a second round.
I want you to use your words.
Yeah. I'm trying not to. He's a competent bum.
Yeah. He's going to be.
There it is.
Like, but I don't think anybody can argue that. He's a competent bum. Yeah. He can play. He can do what you need. Matter of fact, full circle. Last year they won a national championship. He was the third guy.
Right.
He was the competent bum. And what did I say? When you get rid of, when you need that competent bum to step up to Batman or Robin, you get exposed.
Yeah.
So.
He was Alfred.
He was Alfred.
And they sent him out there to go fight the criminals.
He was Alfred. I agree. Bing, he bing, was Alfred. Bing, bing,
real quick, and he was out. You know, like.
Put him up, yeah. So, yeah. Put him up, yeah.
Yeah. No, like, so KJ Adams got in foul trouble, sat for 9 minutes. Then his backup, Ernest Ude. He got in foul troubles. And they played the young guys. They weren't ready.
McCullar, he also got in foul trouble, which I think he was actually the best player on the floor, minus DeJuan Harris.
The game was moving too fast for a lot of those younger guys anyway, coming off the bench.
Yeah, in the second half, when you've got Zach Clements getting minutes, and he's had 11 minutes since January,
that's
not a good sign.
They showed they didn't have any depth.
No depth.
Well, no, they got depth. But I don't think Self wasn't there to put him in position.
Yeah.
Like, because Bill Self, he's
fair.
He's probably the best coach in college. So he's done more with worse players, you know? So, but yeah, and like, they kept getting chances to win the game, even late in the game when I forgot who it was. He missed that free throw, got his own rebound back. So rebounding is a big
coaching. Yeah, you already mentioned it. Kansas got killed. Rebounding. And their lack of size.
36-29 on the offensive glass. They lost 15-7.
Yeah.
And second chance points, 15-2.
Yeah. How many missed free throws?
And that's another one. Because Kansas missed the front end on multiple one-on-ones, which isn't really going to show up in the stats. But free throw attempts, they were probably shooting like 55-60%.
Yeah.
And Arkansas took advantage of that.
That's what wins championships. If you look at the Kansas-Syracuse game back when they played
Carmelo.
They missed. They lost by 13, and they missed like 26 free throws that game. And it's like you make half of your free throws, you win this game.
Well, in this case, you make one extra free throw and a box out, you win the game.
Yeah,
you know, it's something that as simple. Or if you go down the court and grab the ball and just make somebody take it. Like, but since they were running plays, that was the worst. What were they up, 13 points?
Yeah, I think at one point, definitely double digits. And then Arkansas managed to go on an 11-0 run.
So you going coaching, probably a 60-40 game. 60% of the loss would be on the coach's head for this one. Because, like you just said, if Bill was there.
Well, Bill could have lost with Jalen Wilson, too.
Yeah, well,
Bill could have lost,
that's
too.
That's proven because they lost by one against K-State this year as well, too.
Right.
Remember, he calls the infamous timeout as soon as he hits the three.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, you know what I'm saying, do you look at the coaching like, okay, if they would have just went for a three instead of a two, would it have took less time off
the
clock?
No, for sure. Like Bill Self wouldn't have let the game get out of control like it would have. Yeah. And, like, Bill Self, once again, probably the best coach in college. And Norm is probably the 135th best coach in college.
What, they went on an 11-0 run?
Yeah.
At some point in the second half, yeah.
Yeah. But once again, kids nowadays, your best player get a text message, see something on Instagram or Twitter. You don't know how you're going to play. So that's why we don't know who's going to win this year.
So guess what?
What?
Covell and Kyle, we're fooled.
We'll get there. Hold on. All right. We'll do Mizzou. All right. And we got to do this one quicker so we can get by here. So Mizzou, we're not going to talk about this much. 78-63. They were the favorites. Like, they were underdogs, and they do good in that role. But then they were favorites, and they wet the bed.
Yeah.
An Ivy League Princeton
team. Ivy League Princeton team. It's like a AAU team with all the athletes in the city. Then you play a team from Iowa, and then they just start shooting. Shoot you out the gym.
Yeah. Who are these guys?
They were executing. They were running their offense.
Yeah. It looked like they were sleepwalking out there.
Yeah. So 15 points is the largest deficit for a 15 seed to win. Ooh. It's the third worst loss in Mizzou history.
In the tournament?
In the tournament history.
Okay.
Third worst loss. I don't know. I guess we've lost some ugly ones. But rebounds. Lost rebounds, 44-30. Second chance points, 19-2.
Yeah.
3 points.
3-point shooting. This is what I want to hear.
Princeton, 12-33, which isn't great, but it's all right.
19-2 but on we, second chance points.
No, that means you're not even working hard.
That's a huge deficit.
Yeah. Like,
you didn't even try.
No, that's the game there.
Yeah.
You can sum it up to the game right there.
Yep. 19.
I was tuning into that game after KU ended. Mizzou, they just look sluggish.
Yeah. Well, once again, somebody probably saw a comment on Twitter.
Probably.
But Mizzou shot 6-22 from 3-point. At one point, Mizzou missed 10 layups.
Got to hit your bunnies.
And they only shot 7 free throws. It was a physical game. The refs were letting them play. Mm-hmm. That's why you lift all them weights.
That always loses games.
Now, Kansas and Arkansas was also
free throws and
game.
Layups yes. always is – it always loses games.
Okay, so – Now, let's,
Princeton winning. Sorry to cut you off again, but Princeton's winning. You know that's not that great for the country either. Like those are Ivy Leaguers. We need them in the classroom figuring out how to make things better.
Exactly.
Except they got to be out here practicing basketball for another week.
Exactly right. Where's our next scientist?
Yeah,
our next marine biologist.
They got to delay that study group for that chemistry test.
But like you know, like when I was coaching and we lost to teams like that, I'm like, you're losing.
Princeton. What
you,
is
you're losing to accountants? You're losing to scientists. Okay, so real quick, me and Kyle were wrong. We were gonna name the segment "Ty Got Fooled," but we got fooled.
Yep.
Yes,
we got fooled. But like, hey, you know, even a what is it called? A dead clock is right twice a day. Is
yeah, that's right.
So, so like, all right,
and nice. we're referring to Ty's KSU, Kansas State, Cats.
He thought Kansas State was going to win.
I said K-State. I said we were saving. We didn't care about the Big 12.
See, this is when I call cap, as the young kids say.
We didn't
K-State
care. We
definitely cared about
we
the Big 12.
We wanted to save it.
You wanted to beat TCU real bad.
Are you hey, you didn't have to bring that up, though.
No, it's reality there.
But you guys can come to our Sweet 16 party. Okay?
No,
see, I'm a little
be...
conflicted. See, now I want to root for Kansas State. It's awesome what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're going to knock Calipari out of Kentucky.
Yeah. Oh, probably, yeah. But, like, Marquise Noel. Wow.
I got you.
Okay. All right. Noel,
was
27 points. He's a star.
He was a beast.
He 27 points, 9 assists, and he controlled the game at 5'8", 160. He's a playmaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to my brother, small playmaker, but I was talking to my brother, and I was like, I thought Kentucky was going to win because physicality – they have stud players. They have more five-star players. But if you have the most skilled player that can handle the ball and can shoot free throws, it's hard to lose.
Yeah.
Kentucky didn't have that.
And one could argue they also Kansas State also had the coaching advantage, too.
Yeah.
Tang is – he's a problem. He's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
He's good.
Well, but like – was it K-State or KU? Started – the first year coach was a good – year and then it went downhill from there. So I'm seeing if they can replicate this here because
replicate it next year.
Yeah, because
I think they're in good hands.
Noel he's not gonna be here next year, and he's a big part of. Matter of fact, he's the only reason they won because they were trapping him.
Oh,
with his ball
handling, he was everywhere, man.
Yeah, he was everywhere. So
he
when
was
he leaves,
everywhere.
Yeah, it'll be iffy. He's a senior, right?
I don't know. Ask Ty. He's a Kansas State fan.
He will be gone.
He will be gone.
But if he left an impact, you know what I'm saying, because they're going to find another player like that because they know what they need. They know what they need to be successful. And that was a nice little blueprint.
Yeah, and we'll see what Tang does when you know in the transfer portal and recruiting and all that. See what he cooks up for next year.
And you know what? Proving, if you just play hard and do what you got, like K-State lost the rebound battle 44-25. But they won the turnover battle 8-16. So, Ty, I will pay homage to you being right accidentally this time.
Accidentally? Look, yes. K-State is they there.
I mean, because if you keep saying we're going to win, eventually you're going to be right. So, you know.
I mean. Okay. No, it's some scary times. It's some scary times.
Wow. We are over schedule here.
Let's get it.
All right. So, yes. Congrats to you, Ty. I hope they win, but if they don't win, I'm fine with gloating and saying, hey, I told you so. But anyways, okay, so we're going to do this real quick so we can get to our last topic. We're going to do the top 5 players drafted by the Chiefs in history. But the only caveat is on this list, your name can't be Patrick. So essentially we're playing
any type. No Patrick.
Because he's automatically number one. That's why.
Yeah, automatically. So we're essentially, this is a list from 2 to 6.
He's the greatest chief ever.
Should I start with my list or honorable mention?
You usually go honorable mention.
Okay, we'll start honorable mention.
No, right. Go with the list first and then put some honorable.
Actually,
go with the list first. Okay, all right. So I'll go through the list and then we can discuss and then we'll go to break and come back. All right, so Number five on my list, technically six, but number five on my list is Johnny Robinson. He's in the Hall of Fame. He changed the safety position. He was the original Ed Reed, the original Troy Polamalu.
Now, what year was he drafted?
He was drafted.
You told me 1960.
Johnny Robinson, 1960. Yep. He was a first round. He was drafted as a halfback, but then he got moved over to safety. We didn't win until he came over to safety and changed the game.
We're counting AFL players now.
We're counting AFL players.
Okay.
I didn't put Otis on there, okay? All right. All right. Number four is Will Shields. He missed no games in 14 years. 264 games, 12 straight Pro Bowls, the consummate professional.
Proven.
Hall of Famer.
Proven. Hall of Famer. Yeah. Nobody can really. Yeah, it was close between him and Jim Tyre, but he had a sketchy past. Y'all can look that up.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. You don't want your sister being his wife. All right. Anyway. Number three is Derek Thomas. A lot of people saying Derek Thomas should be number one. I don't. It's my list. If you got a problem, just play it. No. Derek Thomas is three on the list. He's a Hall of Famer. He didn't win a chip, but he has 126 sacks. He kind of changed the game.
He's one of the most dominant Chiefs ever.
He's one of the most dominant Chiefs ever.
Like, football players.
Ever. Yeah. Like, he changed how we looked at Chiefs.
Well, we were as a defensive team anyway, and then what a lot of teams would say, even if they won the game or beat the Chiefs was beating you up. They were physical.
Yeah. It was like when we used to play Kearney. Kearney, they never were real good. We would win, but my body would be so sore. Okay. I have number two on the list. It's Chris Jones. He has two championships, 65 sacks. He's
proven.
Been an all-pro. He's been the best at his position besides that guy. Besides Donald. But he's number two. I have him above Derek Thomas because he got two chips. You can't. You almost can't argue it. Number one is Travis Kelce. He has two chips, 814 receptions, 10,344 yards, 12.7 average, 69 TDs. Remember the Gronk talk?
Yeah, he's going to retire and walk into the Hall of Fame.
He's going to, for sure. So a quick recap. Johnny Robinson, 5. Will Shields, 4. Derek Thomas, 3. Chris Jones, 2. Travis Kelce, 1. And everybody won a chip on that list except for Derek Thomas. All right? So I think that's a pretty solid list.
Who's your honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions? Okay. Honorable mention. I'll start from – okay. I have Buck Buchanan. He was a defensive lineman.
He's a Super Bowl winner.
He's a Super Bowl winner. But, it wasn't impactful enough.
Okay.
And we didn't see a lot of film. It was hard for me to try to find film on this fella. But, from what people say, he was great. Seren said that he should be above Johnny Robinson.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. So I tried to look deeper, but I didn't have enough time. We have Bobby Bell. Everybody knows Bobby Bell. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He just missed the list. And once again, he was back in the old school. We didn't watch a lot of that. All right. We don't have shorts of his highlights.
But you got an AFL player.
Johnny Robinson. I've never heard of that guy.
Yeah, you got the AFL guy on there. You got the leather, helmet guy.
If you had somebody from 60s, 70s, I would have thought it would be Bobby Bell.
It was only one guy that I was going to put on here from the 60s and 70s. And Johnny Robinson changed more of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because he went from halfback to safety.
He went from halfback to safety, and we were losing before he went to defense, so he changed how we played.
A bit like Tyrann Mathieu joining. Anyways.
Okay, next on the honorable mention list. Okay, this is going to be fun. Tony Gonzalez. He has more yards. He's the Chiefs leader in receptions. Everybody knows who Tony Gonzalez is. He blocked the punt. Ty likes to bring up. But, one of the reasons he's on the honorable mention and not on my list is because at his Hall of Fame speech, he said, Falcons made my career. Being in Atlanta made my career. And then he started acting funny every time somebody mentioned Chiefs.
We allowed you to block a punt.
He said the Falcons made my career. He didn't show enough respect to the Chiefs. And every time he's on camera with Shannon Sharp, he gets sunned and looks real light-skinned. Okay.
I got to kick him off. You're right.
Yep. Tyreek Hill.
Kick him off.
Tyreek Hill, he might have been on there, but he was talking a lot, saying Tua was better than Mahomes. Out you go.
That's blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
I'd put him at number five over this Robinson character.
Put Otis Taylor over
his
Tyreek
mouth.
Hill.
Okay.
That's
fine.
Remember, being a Chief is not just being a player. It's an attitude.
Okay.
it's a lifestyle, you know?
Exactly, exactly. All right, we got Jamal Charles, all right? Here's my reasoning for him being on honor bench and not on the list. Jamal, I've always wanted to be a Bronco Charles. Y'all remember that quote? Out of there.
A lot of bitterness. No, I see in this list.
I don't say
Ty,
bitterness.
Are you with
I
me there?
It is.
No.
It's a little bit petty.
There's a difference. Yeah, petty.
You must have missed Jamal retiring at Chief.
No, but what else choice did he have? He wasn't going to retire a Bronco because they didn't want him as bad as he wanted them his whole career.
Yeah.
Turncoat. Anyway,
your mouth gets you. I think it does get you kicked off.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It was like, oh, I was loving you until you said that.
Okay, last one. Neil Smith. He was great here. He had like 80 sacks here. He won 2 Super Bowls with the Broncos. So he worked against us. You know what I mean? He worked against us all those.
And then the whole with Neil Smith, the thing surrounding him was him taking plays off.
Yeah.
So I think that hurts you with getting on the list.
And he had too many failed dealerships. That takes you off the list for sure. Out of there. Out you go.
I did like the bread at the restaurant.
Bread at the restaurant?
When he had his restaurant, the bread was great.
And then once he went over there, it turned into McDonald's. But okay. That is my list. Johnny Robinson, Will Shields, Derek Thomas, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce. That is the best players drafted by the Chiefs, not named Patrick, because we know it's Patrick is in front of them. All right, we're going to one more break, and we're going to come back with our valued opinion segment. We're back. We're going to wrap up this segment here. Thanks for joining us in the pocket. 94.5 FM, 1510 AM, ESPN Kansas City. This is our last segment here, and I am going to give the mic to Ty Fu Panda.
All right, it's time for valued opinion. The only opinion matters is yours, so value it. Today, we are about to play some two-on-two backyard basketball. And I want to see who you guys would draft. Now, remember, this is, again, in your prime. Uh-huh. I'm going to go ahead and go first. It's going to be me and Earl Manigault.
The Brooklyn legend?
Has never played in the NBA, but everybody, a Rutgers Park favorite, and everybody who's anybody that played basketball know who he is. And that's my guy. He has a 50-inch vertical. He was snatching change off the backboard, the top of the backboard. All right, so I just think, you know what I'm saying, give me the chip now. Go ahead and give me the trophy now. Nobody's hanging with us.
You done?
Nobody's hanging with us.
Are you done?
Who you
because,
got?
Okay, all right. So, like,
he said he never played in the NBA, and I zoned out.
He never played in the NBA. I've seen the documentary.
He had an addiction.
I've heard NBA players talk to him, and what I told him was, if the game gets close, I'll just throw some powder on the court.
Get out of here. Good Lord.
So who are you going with?
I am going with ding, ding, ding. Is that the draft sound? I'm going with LeBron James, the best player in history. Not number two. Now, number one in history.
That's cheating because if he does his powder thing, my guy might kind of.
No, exactly. That's why I chose him back.
Psychological warfare. That's what he's doing.
That's why I chose LeBron James because he does that. And Charles. All right, I'm not going to do it. What's that? Okay. So I have LeBron James and me. So everybody knows that.
I've heard about your football prowess. Can you hoop?
Oh, yeah. You got to ask about me. Okay. Like, because look, LeBron dumping the ball down to me in the paint, it's unstoppable.
You're getting it swatted.
It's unstoppable.
You're getting swatted.
So I'll tell you why it is stoppable, because my teammate is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Okay.
Right. This is my plan. I'm going to bring the ball up. You guys will probably guard me. Then I'm going to throw it down to Kareem, posting your guys up. He's what, 7'1", and he's got the sky hook?
Yeah, but
you guys are going to have to double team him.
We will have to double team him, because guess
now,
what?
I got a strap, all right? I'm running to a corner. Doesn't matter, left, right, and I'll shoot it from, the elbows. I can shoot the ball.
But LeBron, remember when they won the first championship in Miami?
Yeah.
Center. He played center.
Yeah.
Like
Not against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Not against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He played against Dirk.
He was playing against Iguodala.
Iguodala. But who he played center? Yeah, it was. Oh, they lost.
And
see,
my guy already.
They lost.
My guy already beat you, guy, because Kareem, out of his own mouth, said, hey, Earl Manigault, he was the man.
But once again, anybody that's heard a story from Brooklyn,
he's already scared of him. So I'm not even worried about
him. I don't know who he is. I'm not scared of him.
I want to see you guard him.
How tall is he? 6'1"?
He's 6'1". He can jump 40 inches.
50.
My teammate has got a foot on your guy.
But guess what? And he, out of his own mouth, he said Earl.
Kareem said that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I like how I'm leaning on stats and history and what public knowledge you are too. And Ty is going off a phrase of somebody that said.
Well, listen, if his guy admits that, hey, this guy, you know, he'll knock me out, he's going to get knocked out.
I'm a comedian. I'm a comedian. He's a comedian. There's comedians that I know that somebody says, that guy funny? Yeah, man, funny dude I know.
You're looking at
Not making eye contact. Yeah, man, that guy is hilarious.
And LeBron, he can't jump as high as my guy.
Oh, boy. Why would he have to?
You know what I'm saying?
Why would he have to? He
just my guy's faster. He's faster.
He just do this.
He's faster. That's what we... Earl the GOAT, Manny GOAT. I thought you was going to pick Hank Gathers or something.
Who is that? Never
mind.
Well, you'd have been better off with Stockton.
No.
Yeah.
No, he cannot come on my team. he can't even come off my bench.
He led the league in assists.
I don't care. I never liked this play at all.
Ty probably don't have hands to be catching him passes from
are you crazy?
From John Stockton. No, I'm not crazy. me and LeBron, me coming down the court, running the pick and roll with LeBron. Okay. There's nothing Hakeem.
Kareem,
wow. There's nothing Kareem can do. There's nothing your fella can do. Because all we got to do is slip behind. LeBron just got to turn.
Imagine saying there's nothing a 7'1" guy can do on a pick and roll.
Not against.
He's going to sit in the paint.
But
and you're going to try those little floaters over him.
I'm going to shoot a floater, pass it to LeBron. I'm going to step
blocked
back three.
Into the stands.
Oh, man. You know what I would do to.
Classic fundamental basketball. Will take out. Don't it don't matter.
It's not your guy. Your guy was a street baller.
It doesn't matter, huh?
Your guy was a street baller.
And what are we playing? We playing backyard. So guess what? I'm gonna hold your jersey a little bit.
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and hold your shorts a little bit. Guess what?
If he's doing,
I'm gonna post you up. And guess what? I'm gonna sit on that leg.
Now,
so he can't move.
I definitely have trouble against you guys just with my size.
He's gonna
Manny Goat. Oh, okay.
Now I'm like Marquise Noel. Right? Oh, I let it fly.
He let it fly.
My high school rec team, I named them the Rainmakers for a reason.
I'm sure you probably got a great Jay. You are like
my
Bob
jump shot
Cousy.
Looks a lot better than DeJuan Harris's.
Oh, yeah. It's been bad for years.
If you come out there with some Chuck Taylors on, I know we beating you, though, Kyle.
So this segment is cut a bit short. We're going to bring it back next week. Matter of fact, I think we have two that we have to squeeze some time in for. So next Monday, we're going to have a little bit of time. We're going to talk a little bit about the draft. We're going to, we got a few things to talk about. Visit CovellHudsonComedy.com.
Typhoon Panda, KnuckleheadClothing.com.
And be on the lookout. The show is going to have some social media getting up and going this week. We're going to do some polls.
That's right.
Some engage with some listeners. It's going to be a good time.
We should have some sponsors here pretty soon. So, only way is up. So, tune in next week. This has been In the Pocket. We out.